What's up, y'all, and welcome back to Found Bites, a game review series. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. If you don't know about us, we're all about finding and testing out small, high-quality video games. This is a podcast that aims to respect your time and money as a gamer and a consumer by sifting through storefronts and sales to find those gems that may be worth your precious resources. But enough about the show. Let's get into our next game. Turmoil is the game for this week's episode. Turmoil is an oil mining strategy sim released in 2016 by a studio called Gameus. The game is available on PC, Mac, and mobile, and it inevitably came to consoles, so it's available on Switch, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Series X, and S. Initially, what drew me to the game is this simple premise and this kind of unique strategy sim. Very interesting, the setting and the concept. And eventually, as I started playing it, pretty addictive, high replayability, a lot of upgrades, definitely vibes of like Oregon Trail versus the computer, and the real-time strategy element. It also reminds me of Kingdom Two Crowns that we talked about, as well as, you know, games like Citizen Sleeper and Astralagaster, where you're kind of looking at a 2D screen or just interacting with things on the screen. I also see a lot of a game that I haven't played, so I'm kind of imagining it's like this, a game called Silk that I bought a little while ago. It's kind of similar. It's like about a trade, or at least like getting things and selling them, and it's about like the silk trade. So I would imagine it's a lot like that, although I could be kind of shooting from the hip here. The game released on console with an MSRP of $14.99, and we'll talk about what that includes, but on PC, I believe it's $12.99. for just the main game. I got it for $7 on PS5. And to play the campaign, at least the first campaign or the normal mode, should take about 8 hours. But you can definitely put a lot of hours in, probably upwards of 20, 25 to complete this. I don't know what that adds with the DLC, but I just started the DLC and I've put in a little more than 10, maybe close to 12. So I've done a couple levels in the Heat is On DLC. So let's talk about that DLC. So the Heat is On is apparently what comes with the console version. So I guess that's what warrants the $14.99. Another DLC was just released called Deeper Underground. And I think that's only on PC. And I'm looking at those on Steam. Both of those individual DLCs are available for $7. And again, on PC, it's $12.99. But on console, $14.99 for the main game plus the Heat is On. But the Deeper Underground DLC has not yet come to console. And like I said, the game was developed by Gameus, and I checked out their website. A small team from Netherlands. They've done a few games, nothing that I've really heard of, and nothing that I think really looks as complex as this, but that's just my kind of point of view. And in terms of buzz, I didn't really hear anything about this game. I saw it on sale, really liked the interesting premise. Nothing even on Twitter, no buzz or anything like that, but maybe I wasn't looking back when it came out originally. There's a lot of different timelines and dates for when it was released on what console, but nothing that really kind of jumped out to me, but I saw it and decided to dive in. Let's talk gameplay for Turmoil. So this is an oil mining sim, but it kind of has moments of being an RTS or real-time strategy game. But let's just go through some of the basics and when things might apply. I would say throughout this entire game, you're going to be working with a cursor and clicking things. So definitely right at home on PC and maybe even on mobile. But honestly, after like a couple minutes on console, I didn't even really notice it. I think you can change like the cursor speed. So it's really not something that I thought about too much after I got into the game. And this is going to apply whether you're not in a level or kind of pre-level in the town, or whether you're in a level where things are kind of moving at a fast pace. But no matter where you are, you're going to be presented this kind of flat 2D screen. So pre-level, before you go into a level, you're in this town. There's different buildings. And when you click on them, you'll go in and you can spend money. You can upgrade things about your supplies or what's available to you in level. And that's going to be primarily like prepping to start the next level, or even in between when you come back from a level, you'll be there. And then when you're in level, you'll have a menu up at the top where you can click different buttons. And once you click it, it's active and you can like see it on the cursor to be where you place things. So it's kind of giving you that visual. Sometimes you'll just click a button, place things. Sometimes you might click things that are already down and kind of drag them with a direction. Sometimes you might click things and hold them. There can be a little bit of frustration. It was pretty rare where it happened, but sometimes the cursor placement, if you're like fixated on something and you have to hold it, sometimes if you have other things moving past or moving around, it can kind of reset that hold or the meter that comes up with the hold. So that can be a little annoying, but that didn't happen that often. It's just something to be aware of. But let's talk progression in this game, and whether it's in level or between levels, within a level or the whole game, the primary thing that you're doing is making money because you're selling oil. And you're going to go through this loop. You're going to buy land before you go into the level. And then once you're in the level, you'll start to mine oil. And then you'll sell the oil when you're in the level. And then you'll come back, like we said, to the town, buy your upgrades, rinse and repeat. This is definitely going to feel similar to a game like Darkest Dungeon, where you're going into a dungeon and then you come back and you mess around with the town. You might upgrade some things. You might, you know, purchase things and whatnot. So that sort of rinse and repeat back and forth. The game presents itself with this interesting kind of gameplay aspect where it's you versus three computer players. It almost reminds me of older gaming, whether on PC or even like the video game Monopoly games where you can play against computer players. And you're going to be interacting with these other players in a couple different ways, one of which is when you are bidding on land plots that you're going to go and mine at. So everybody's going to kind of pick a plot that they're going to bid on. Sometimes you might get outbid by a computer player. Sometimes the computer players outbid each other. And so when that happens, you have to like pay more for the land, or if you want to choose a different plot, you can if one is available. And you're going to see these different plots on the map, and you'll be able to choose them. So the ones that are available versus the ones that were already taken last level. And there's some interesting strategy here. I don't know if I really got to the bottom of it, but you can gain some insight about certain plots or certain areas. And then you can also look at patterns of the ratings of like how much oil was found in other ones in the past levels. And so you might want to choose one near one of those like that. You'll start to pick up on some of these things. I think there's more depth to it, but I'm not sure how to really get to it. And then once you finally decide on your land plot and everybody has their land plots bidded on separately, you will go and mine that for a year, which is the length of a level. And you'll do it alone on the plot. It's not like when you're on the plot, you have to compete with the other computer members. And you're going to repeat this again, this sort of rinse and repeat, like you go into your level, mine, and then come back to the town, so on and so forth. You'll repeat this until all the plots have been mined on a given land biome, and then you'll move on to another biome. And there's four different biomes, and the goal is to just kind of get through all of them, mine all of the plots, and that'll end the game. But in between coming back from the levels and changing biomes, new mechanics are going to be added, new upgrades, all kinds of different things. And eventually what will happen is the game will start to progress where instead of just getting money, you're going to be headed towards the end game, which has to do with bidding on the town shares, because the mayor of the town is selling off shares to the town to decide who's going to be the new mayor. And so every time you will come back from a level, you will go through this bidding thing where the mayor's going to offer up a certain percentage of shares. And then it's kind of like this mini game of chicken where the price of the amount of shares that he's offering up will start at a number, and then it'll kind of slowly tick down, and it'll start pretty high, like 50 or 60,000, and then it'll slowly tick down. And when you want to, you can hit the button and that will buy it. But you don't want to wait too long because if you wait, one of the computer players might buy it. But of course, that's subject to how much money everyone has. So you can like strong arm people out of it if they don't have enough money, but then you're blowing a lot of money to make sure they don't bid on it. So it's really interesting. It's kind of this just like dial that goes around in a circle. And then there's this button and it's like literally a game of chicken, whoever clicks it first. And I had a couple instances where like I was about to click it and a computer guy clicked it and I was really mad. But it's just an interesting way to kind of have another mechanic going on, especially towards the end game. And so the end goal of the game, we've talked about having money, but really what it winds up being is at the end of mining all the plots, the person who has 50% or more shares of the town will win the game. So there'll be plenty of opportunities to buy town shares along the way, and it's not always going to be the same percentage. Sometimes it's like 2%, sometimes it can be up to 7 or even higher. But if you end the game and all the plots are mined and no one has more than 50%, there's kind of this other mini game where whoever has the smallest percent, their shares get put back into the pot, and then everybody who's left over will bid on them. And then this process repeats through all four of you until there's no one left. They sell enough percentages that by the time you get to like you and another person, one of you will have 50%, and then that'll be it. So let's talk about being in level, because this is really where the RTS or like the real-time gameplay is going to happen. So you will have a tutorial stage with the basics for how you go about doing things with nice little blurbs that pop up. They're pretty quick, and you can skip this tutorial, but if you haven't played it, I highly suggest that you just go through it. It doesn't take long. In general, whenever something new is introduced, the explanations are very succinct with nice pictures and just short and sweet. You can read it at your pace, but it's really nice how new things are introduced, and they do complicate things, but the explanations are always pretty simple and not very time consuming. When you're in level, the goal is to mine and sell oil. So you want to make as much money as you can, mine all the oil that you can. There is a time limit. Like I said, it is generally a year. I think in the first biome, or at least the first couple times I played, it stopped at like 6 months. So it'll let you know like, oh, last month. But I think eventually it just becomes the whole year. So you'll start January 1st and it'll tick all the way down to December 31st. And just for a reference, I think one day is like 2 or 3 seconds. So the year does move pretty quickly. And what's interesting is you can actually fast forward at any point. Like you can have the days tick faster. And this might be because you want to get something done or you have a couple things kind of set in motion and you just want to speed it up to get there. But you will start on January 1st and you also start with $2,000 in the level. And before you go into the level, like the person driving you to your plot will say like, all right, we have to take $2,000 to go to the plot. That's something that comes out of your pot. And then when you get to the level, it's important to note that anything that you're going to purchase or do is going to cost money. And most of it is actually going to take some time. Some things you'll just click a button and say like, I want this, and then you'll put it and it'll automatically be there. But a lot of the other things that you're doing to get oil, mine it, and to sell it and all that stuff are going to take some of the time. So that's going to involve some strategy, having multiple things kind of spinning or going. And then once you're in the level, you want to start finding oil. So like I said, the visual that you're looking at is kind of a flat 2D, and it has a line in the middle that'll show like from above ground to below ground. So you're getting that cross-sectional view, but all you'll see is brown underneath the ground. You can't see where the oil is. And so you have to do things or pay for things that will allow you to do that. And the first option that you'll get are getting these dowsers. Basically, you spend $100 and you have a guy who's just walking back and forth and kind of surveying the land or like shooting out a sensor above ground to see like what is underneath, basically trying to find oil. And this will take some time, maybe a few days, but when he's done dowsing, you'll get like a visual and an audio cue that he's done. And what that means is he'll stop in a certain vertical column. And he's trying to say that somewhere in this vertical column, there is a patch of oil or a packet of oil. And so you have to figure out how to drill there. And so let's get to drilling for oil. So you'll be able to buy drills that you can put anywhere on your kind of flat 2D plane. And these are immediate. You don't have to wait for these to be built. These will cost $350. And as soon as you build it, you can start drilling. The way that drilling works is at the bottom of the drill, there's a plus sign and you have to click it, hold it, and then sort of drag down. That will start to drill the pipe from there to the next spot. And what you're doing is kind of creating these segments, and you're hoping that if you create enough of them or if you go far enough, you're going to hit where the dowser was telling you the oil is. But this is a little bit of a guessing game. And so you don't want to create like one long segment all the way down, because the further you create your drilling segment, the more it's going to cost. And also, once you create a segment, it's kind of like point to point. So the end of the segment will be the next point that you can continue on with. So you don't want to drill too far down right away, because if there's one that's close to the surface, now all of a sudden you're going to have to drill all the way back up, because what you need is the end of the segment to line up and land in an oil pocket. Now, the oil pockets are going to have strange shapes. A lot of them will be maybe squares or like octagons or even circles, but they're definitely not going to be like always the same shape. Sometimes they might be small, fat, long, all kinds of different shapes. What is nice, though, is that the oil pockets are kind of like these orange shapes, and they'll have black in the middle, which obviously is the oil. All you have to do is hit anywhere on the orange and you'll be sucking oil from that pocket. Now, if the oil level starts to go down, you don't have to worry about like getting the segment low enough so that it has to hit the bottom so the oil comes. The way the game works is as long as your pipe is anywhere in the oil packet, it'll just keep mining the oil until it's completely dry. So that's nice. Not a lot of physics logic, but it's really nice for gameplay. Now, once you start to mine the oil, it'll slowly come up through the pipes and then through the drill at the top, like the tower of the drill. So you'll see like a meter in the middle of just like this black oil coming up slowly. Once the oil starts to come up, you got to do something with it. So you're going to need to transport or store or sell it. And for that, you need wagons. So you can purchase wagons and you click the button. I think there are 150 each. And you can put up to a certain limit of wagons that are just doing whatever you need them to do. Each of these wagons is going to have a limited space of oil that they can carry in the basket. And they're also going to move at a very steady speed. So you have to get used to how fast they're moving. You can also purchase storage bins that are 250 and you can put them anywhere in this horizontal space. So speaking of the horizontal space in general, so like I said, it is a flat 2D screen and there is the ground level that is flat, but on one side you're going to have like a building and on another side, all the way on the other side, you're going to have another building, and anywhere in between that space you can build, but you can't build on top of or behind other things that you have built. So you do have a limited space, so you want to be strategic in, you know, how far apart the drills are, or if you want to build a storage bin, like you need to leave space for that, or multiple ones. So you'll kind of learn through trial and error what to do, what not to do. The other thing is the proximity of the drill to where you're going to sell it. So the buildings all the way on the left and all the way on the right are where you're going to direct your wagons to go to sell the oil. So if they're going all the way to the left and you're having them get drills from all the way on the right, that's a longer drive. So it's just something to keep in mind. Of course, you can't predict where the oil is going to be, but you just want to be aware of that. So each of these buildings all the way on the left, all the way on the right are going to be where you sell it. And they're going to have the current price displayed pretty big, in fact, which is nice. And so they're rarely going to have the same price. Sometimes they will, but these prices are constantly fluctuating. Remember, every 2 or 3 seconds is a day. And so the price fluctuation does coincide at the same time. There's going to be a lot of strategy here as well, because if both of the prices are lower than you want to sell it for, then you might want to direct your wagons to take the oil and put it in the storage bin and save it for once the price is high enough. So patience crossed with needing money, because again, this is like an active process. So you got to spend money to make money. If you spend all your money and you're not selling any oil, you're not going to be able to spend more money and get new things, so on and so forth. But the wagon mechanic is also interesting, because you can choose just with the click of a button if you want one of your wagons to go to the right cellar or the left cellar, just by using R1 and L1 on the controller. But if you have a certain number of wagons going to the right, it'll display that number on the right, and same if you have them on the left. The total wagons that you have out will be up in the top menu, and what you can do is tick them down. So like if you want to tick down the ones that are going on the right, you can do R2, and then it won't have them go anywhere. So if you have a storage bin, they'll automatically put the oil in the storage bin. So you'll get used to that pretty quickly. But of course, that'll coincide with the strategy if the prices aren't what you want them to be. And again, this is the gameplay, rinse and repeat. Just like going back to the menu, back to the level. When you're in the level, it's rinse and repeat, trying to get that money. So that is the main level goal. Make a lot of money. And if you find all the oil in the level, you'll get a bonus. And there are some other things you can do to get bonus at the end of the level. Things you want to be aware of, though, there are some hazards that you want to keep in mind. If you don't get to an oil pump when the meter is all the way at the top, you'll start to see like a meter on the side that's like a circle kind of slowly fill in and tick, and you'll get a visual cue. And actually, the screen will also give you a cue in general. That's trying to tell you that you need to get some wagons there or there's going to be spillage. If you don't get there in time, oil will start to spill out and you'll kind of lose it. It's not like a crazy visual, but you definitely don't want to spill, because at the end of the level, you could get fined if you spill too much. So you want to be mindful of, if all of your drill meters are going up too high, you probably need to get more wagons to alleviate that and get some oil back into a storage bin or over to one of the places to sell it. You also might run out of money, and there are ways to alleviate this. We'll talk about when you're out in the town. You can go to a loan person if you need money. You can actually also do that in the middle of a level. So if you're running out of money and you're not selling any oil, or for some reason you backed yourself into a corner, you would have to do this to then get out of being stagnant so that you can get back to making money. Sometimes if you wait too much to store and you have no space, all of your wagons will fill up if you don't direct them to go anywhere. That can result in spillage as well, because there's no one to get the oil out of the drills. Eventually, some of the deposits will empty, and instead of being orange in the background, they'll fade to like a gray or something like that. And so you might have to keep looking and move further, throw out another dowser, whatever you need to do. And eventually you'll find that you will try to drill and sometimes you'll hit rock and you won't be able to drill past that, at least not without the proper upgrade. So those are just some things to keep in mind as hazards. So while you're in the level, there's a lot of things to manage and juggle. Like I said, the different prices, tracking which one you're going to sell to. I definitely found that like sometimes I was throwing all my wagons to like the higher one, which was like over a dollar for a barrel or whatever. And so I did that. And then I went to put in some more drills or throw another dowser. And then I was drilling down and trying to find things or build storage units. And all of a sudden I look up and all of my wagons are going to that seller. And now it's at like 20 cents. So like there are things that you need to keep an eye on. It's going to be constantly be changing and moving, but it can really train you to kind of multitask and constantly have those spinning plates going. And of course there's advanced stuff. So when you get back to the town, you can mess around with upgrades. And these upgrades are going to be available in the different buildings in the town. In the main game, I think there's like five or six. I know the mayor's house or the town hall is in the middle. And then I think there's two on the right, two on the left. And when you go to these different buildings, primarily you're going there to unlock paid abilities or upgrades in the level. So you're unlocking the sort of right or ability to do these things in the level. But for the most of them, when you're in the level, you have access to them. They're still going to cost money in the level to do those upgrades. So one is horses. So your wagons have horses on them, and you can upgrade the number of max horses that you're allowed to use. So the number of wagons that you can have out at a given time, the size of the cart you can upgrade so that once you're in the level, you have access to upgrading the size of all of your horse's cart with the click of one button. And you can upgrade the speed of them as well, so they'll move faster. But again, once you unlock that upgrade in the level, you have to access that and pay for that. But luckily, you don't have to do that for each one. The cart size and the speed of the horses, you just hit the button once and automatically you will get it on all of your horse carts. Finding oil is something you can upgrade. So you can upgrade the range that the dowser can sort of detect oil and the depth, how far it goes down. You can get access to paying for a mole to go and try to excavate. Moles are interesting because they'll dig kind of randomly and sporadically, but they'll like uncover like a triangle of visual underneath the ground randomly in different spots. Sometimes it'll open up a triangle and you'll recognize it and be like, that's an oil pocket. I got to drill right there. They cost the same, but it's interesting strategy because they kind of go sporadically. And eventually you'll unlock the scanner, which is something I used a lot, but can really rack up the cost. The scanner, basically, you'll drag it down to under the ground and it'll have a circle. And when if you leave it still, that circle will grow in size, as will the price that you have to pay. And when you click it, it'll completely reveal everything in that circle. So it's something that I use a lot, but definitely the cost will add up. You can upgrade your drill. You can get to the point where you can branch off of segments of a tube. So for example, you can go down like a small segment with one of your drills, and then you can split that off into two. And so you can like access multiple oil pockets with the same drill at the same time. You can also access the ability to upgrade the tube size, which would increase how much your oil flows. You can upgrade how fast the drill will move when you're drilling down. You can upgrade it so that it'll drill through rock, all kinds of different things. And again, this is paying to get access to it. So once you're in level, you have to choose to actively upgrade like this tube here. So just an example for strategy, like I will drill down like a small length of tube, and then I'll split it off into two, and then I will upgrade the size of that top tube so that the flow of oil coming from two different pockets that have the normal width of the pipe size will then also fill up that bigger width of the one that branches them together. Seems complicated, but visually it makes a lot of sense. And you'll also get access to different things. Again, as you go from one biome to another, when you fill up all the plots on one biome, you go to another, you might access different things. So some of the things you'll access is the loan guy who can lend you money, of course, with interest. I think you have to pay it back by the time you get back from that level. You'll also be able to go to the bar and find different characters that you can bribe to do different things. So some of them will say like, hey, pay me this amount of money and I'll make sure the sell price on the right store in the level will not go below this number. One of them might be like, hey, I'll lower the percentage of loans by 10% or something like that, or I'll decrease your spillage fines. So different things like that. It's really interesting how you can kind of pay if your strategy is to kind of blitz one specific aspect. You'll also eventually find diamonds underground. You'll find natural gas, which can affect the price of whoever store like you link it to. It's a little complicated, but the game will explain that pretty well. And so a lot of different things that you'll get introduced to. And of course, once you open any of the expansions, I played the Heat is On DLC. It had some interesting new mechanics. I think I only played like one or two levels, but it had the aspect of like there's magma down there and that can affect like how fast the oil flows up. So a lot of different things that you'll get exposed to, whether in the main game or the DLC. And let's talk accessibility. So the game does save when you leave. Anytime that you're leaving and you're back in the town, that'll be fine. It won't be a big deal. It'll just automatically save. I don't know about leaving in the middle of a level. I've never done that. I would imagine that the game would have to maybe go back to the town. Tutorials are good. Again, really short and sweet. Anytime anything is introduced, you will get mayor's tips. Like you can go to the town and I think 5 per biome. So anytime you're in a biome and you've gone through a level, it'll kind of reveal like a tip about certain things that maybe you knew, maybe you didn't know. You can play the campaign, which is what I've done, but from the main menu, you can also play a single level. And I think once you beat the main campaign, you unlock expert mode, although I did and I didn't unlock it, so I was a little confused about that. If you're buying it on console, you get the Heat is On DLC. So definitely a lot of content for you to access in whatever way is best for you. Let's talk about the vibe of Turmoil, and let's start with the visuals. So like I said, you're looking at a flat 2D screen, and so a lot of the visuals that you're seeing are very flat and 2D with simple colors. Reminds me a lot of like Dicey Dungeons, also like a little bit of South Park, where it looks like construction paper cutouts, but definitely a lot more organized and less chaotic. Like the forms of things that you're seeing are definitely a lot more detailed and more realistic, at least in a flat construction paper 2D simple format. colors that you see, definitely going to see a lot of beige and whites and browns, probably on the lighter side, but you will see accents of green and reds and blues that are kind of rich. But everything is kind of one note. All the colors are one note. There's not a lot of like swirly patterns or anything like that. Again, kind of that construction paper vibe. The buildings, the environments, the characters that you see, pretty minimalist, I would say. Not necessarily a ton of character, but definitely sharp, clean edges and detail. Definitely a contrast to like what I was talking about with South Park, Dicey Dungeons. The background and the landscape kind of has a simple depth to it. Like you'll see a cactus back there, or you'll see like lines that are marking like plateaus or trying to just create distance. Nothing too crazy. In the levels, like I said, it's a cross-sectional view. So that color contrast of above ground and dark underground, like this dark brown, which is the dirt. But when you hit an oil pocket, that orange outline is such a strong contrast that even if the mole is going down and only revealing like a small triangle, you can notice that immediately. Like that is an orange outline of something. Automatically, you're going to be like, okay, I got to drill near there. A lot of indicators visually that are very helpful. The price signs on either side are very big, so you can look up over for a second and just see the dollar or the 40 cents or whatever. The right and left have red and blue colors, and this is helpful because when you assign a wagon to a particular side, it'll change like the barrel color of that wagon to be blue or red. Just kind of helping you visually keep track of where your wagons are going. The oil flow in the pipes, you see it come up. If there are gaps, like air pockets, that's trying to communicate to you that like not enough oil is coming through from the other pipe in front of it. So if you branch it and then go to another area to get more oil from there, you'll start to see a difference. Just kind of visually communicating the physics of the oil flow. I think that's really nice. And same goes for the visuals on the meter on the tower when it's going up, just to give you a visual like, hey, you need to get some wagons over here, get this oil out. And then once like the potential spill meter comes up and it is spilling, you will see like a red tint on the screen, really trying to help you. And also it'll give you audio cues, which is very helpful. So speaking of audio, let's talk about sound effects. The cues here are very, very helpful and also add a little bit of character to the game. So when you have the dowser walking back and forth, when he's done, like he'll wave and just stand still, but then you'll hear like a whistle to let you know like, hey, dig here. Anytime you build anything, it'll just slam it on there and you'll hear like a loud metal thud, which is nice. When you hit oil, it'll gulp, like you'll hear that. It's really trying to communicate to you like, yes, you hit the oil. Same thing if you hit gas, it'll like hiss a little bit. Depending on if your line is open, which you'll eventually understand what that means. Anytime you buy a horse and put them on there, you'll hear the whip and the neigh, all kinds of things like that. Very vital, very simple, and almost matter-of-factly, but I feel like you really need to play with the sound on to get the visual cues, especially if something's going to happen, like a spillage or something like that. And the music, very simple, reminiscent of A Simple Life, this tumbleweed twang, kind of this bluegrass. The end of a level reminds me of Conan's podcast, the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, because the music that Jack White wrote for that, it sounds very similar, just like a simple guitar. So a lot of feels of just like country, Wild West living, definitely easy living, and that definitely goes along with the environments and the savannas or the plains that you see. And of course, that ties into the themes in general. You're in the Old West. It's about 1900. Everybody's looking for oil, trying to make their money. People are out there mining. You got investors. They're wearing their particular garb. Definitely reminds me of like Deadwood, the TV show, where like you've got your miners and then you've got your people with your vests, and the women are wearing like, you know, their frou-frou necks or their dresses that, you know, go all the way to the floor. It's very interesting and it's very of the time. I love sort of the garb that people are wearing. And just the sort of the way the game is presented, it reminds me a lot of Monopoly in general, but especially playing it on SNES, which is when I played it, just the vibe of going against computer players and like their strategy and, oh, this guy can be a real dick. And just the idea of playing against computer players is just something very nostalgic for me. But overall, just simple explanations. Hurry up, trying to get you to go out, and it's almost like manifest destiny in a hurry, like of the times, like what are you waiting for? Get out there. And so the game kind of really emanates that with its explanations, short and sweet, trying to get you out there, and also a little bit of a cheeky vibe, very self-aware, again, very matter-of-factly. It's really just nice and refreshing. All right, let's wrap up the conversation about Turmoil. So I really, really liked my experience with this game. It's a different pace. It's a nice palate cleanser in between some hardcore role-playing games. Overall, just refreshing and addictive. The loop, to me, was very addictive. I was sitting in my bed playing on the portal. Like, I really could just play this, even a single level or a full campaign, especially with the DLC. I could really go into it and just keep going. Very approachable. Again, simple explanations, the tutorials, very easy to understand what's going on. And honestly, as you go through the campaign, definitely a bunch of aha moments about strategy. But in a 10-hour campaign, to have aha moments and then really have time after that to master it, it's really nice. And it's not something that's very easy to do. Definitely high in terms of replayability. Again, jumping in for one level. I definitely get the itch sometimes to just mine some oil, see how this year is going to go. Access to the DLC, especially if you have it on console. So it comes with this version. Getting the Heat is On DLC, it's like I'm going through a new campaign and I'm learning new tricks. But in general, the game is very pick up and play. Again, playing on the portal, like before bed, I can just go through one level, 1 year, and that'll take, you know, maybe 5-10 minutes, maybe a little longer if I'm pausing it or putting it down. In terms of value, I think 15 for the game on console with that first DLC, I feel like that's a very nice price. I got it for $7. I feel like that's a steal. I got a ton of value out of this. Even if I drop it and don't play it again, 10, 12 hours for this, I really enjoyed the experience, and I would like to see more people get into games like this. I think this is a great game for people who love strategy games, whether you're new to it or whether you're experienced. I still feel like this is a unique experience, at least it was for me. And I think it would be for most people, especially if you haven't played strategy games. It's definitely not super complex in terms of like a real RTS or something like a StarCraft or something crazy like that. But if you're somebody who maybe likes Stardew Valley or likes Oregon Trail in general, I feel like you might get a lot out of this. Again, it does have a limited scope, but I really feel like it's a great palate cleanser with charm and simplicity. And so I do highly recommend this game. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode to see what new game we found for you.